views and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we live stream at kfarradio.com. This is Problem Corner. I'm your host, David Prues. If you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458. What's the rest of it, Joni? 8225?
You know, that was in my mind, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, that's all right. I got Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here. Now, today's the first Wednesday of the month, but we had to change out due to political things last Wednesday, and Joni was very nice about it, so I let her pick what day she wanted. She said Wednesday, because it's history. How you doing?
I'm doing fabulous.
Any fun plans for 4th of July on Saturday?
Yes.
You're my last airing until next Monday.
Oh, well, you know. And our country's going to be 250 on the 4th.
I know
It's wonderful.
What do you got planned?
Well, I accepted an invitation to my good friend George Lounsbury's house. I'd be up there with his family and some of his close friends, and I'm bringing the decorations.
Oh, I'm sure you are.
Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. But I would like to give a plug for the Friends of the Tanana Valley Railroad at Pioneer Park. They are going to be running engine number one, the steam locomotive, on that day.
They have a pretty big event that goes on there.
That's one of our oldest bits. That's one of our oldest things that we have of Fairbanks' history is that locomotive, and it runs. It arrived here in July of 1905, and it's going to be given rides on the 4th of July.
You know, I was on the Fairbanks Historic Preservation Foundation, and we started putting on that event out there. And from about 2000 to 2007, I was the host and put it on for about 7 or 8 years in a row, and this is a great event. Well, it's not like it used to be. We would have the F-16 or A-10 flyovers. We had the 9th Army Band.
Yes.
I mean, but, you know, the 9th Army Band went to Hawaii.
Well, they're going to have, the park is going to have a lot of activities and fun, and it's also part of Alaska 250, which is part of America 250, and so there's big doings at Groudon Park. Mm-hmm. The Gold Panthers are playing a game that day, but they're also having a clinic as part of that. The Alaska
baseball.
Yes, the Alaska 250 has got a baseball theme to it. So, you know, everything down there by Groudon Park and Pioneer Park, there's going to be a lot going on that day.
You have an interesting subject for us today. And,
yes, a little bit of a somber one, but a
quite
very
somber.
Interesting one. Yes, and it is part of our history, and I think that it's important to remember the victims in this story, but also to go over the lessons learned from this tragic event that happened 42 years ago.
Still remembered. When we get to it, Fairbanks, you may recall it, and if you don't recall it, you weren't here. You'll now know it and understand it.
Yes, yes. So we're going to talk about murder, a mass murder in our history. And so a lot of people, we'll start out with a little bit of background. A lot of people think that a mass murderer is a serial killer. They are not. That's different. Mm-hmm. A serial killer is a person who preys on people one at a time and kills them, generally one at a time, pretty much at random. A mass murderer kills people at random too, but usually kills groups of people.
And Alaska's had both.
Alaska has had both. So before we get into the murder that we're going to talk about today, in the 1970s and 80s, nationwide, there was a big jump in serial killers and mass killings, more so serial killers. Mass killings have kind of taken over in the world of big-time murder since then. But to list, here's a list of serial killers and mass killers in Alaska to the mid-1980s. So in 1982, Charles Meach III killed seven Anchorage residents in two separate incidents. Four of them were teenagers at Russian Jack Springs Park in Anchorage. And this guy was a patient at the Alaska Psychiatric Institute. And, you know, he was crazy. And he went and he did this heinous thing. He killed in two groups. And, you know, that was this was in 1982. And this is what these dates that I'm listing happen in a 2-year time span. Then also in 1982, the fishing vessel Investor at Craig was set ablaze after the arsonist shot eight people on board, and their remains were found in the burned boat. The main suspect was John Kenneth Peel, who was later acquitted by a jury due to a lack of evidence. That's never been solved. In 1983, 1 year later, Robert Hansen in Anchorage was a guy who did the Butcher Baker killings. He had at least 17 victims. That's what he owned up to after his arrest. But he preyed on women, and he raped them, and he murdered them, and he hunted them in the woods.
Yeah, took them into an airplane and let them out. And
yes,
you got 5 minutes. I'm coming for you.
Yeah. So in 1983, the same year, Thomas Bundy, who was stationed at Eielson Air Force Base, killed five local females here in the Fairbanks area. The youngest one was 13 years old. When the troopers tracked him down, he was in Texas, and he was on a motorcycle, and he drove it head-on into a semi-truck rather than face the consequences of what he had done.
Yeah, I remember that.
In 1983, in the spring, you know, I think it was in March of 1983, Lewis Hastings, who lived at Kennecott, killed six McCarthy residents in the area of the airport, and was later caught by troopers and was sentenced to a very lengthy prison sentence. I don't think he'll ever get out. And the one we're going to talk about today, in 1984, Michael Silka killed nine people and then was killed by the Alaska State Troopers when they tried to apprehend him.
And he killed an Alaskan state
trooper. Yes. All of that happened in 2 years in Alaska.
Yeah.
That's
what was in the water?
Pretty sobering.
Yeah, what was in the water?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, pretty shocking. So by the time Michael committed his murders, I mean, people were like, what is going on? It was something that devastated people here in the interior, the Manly murders did. So the motives of these guys, you know, there's mental illness, and that will manifest itself with paranoia and protection and a sense of entitlement. When faced with rule breaking, they often will, you know, feel that they are above those rules,
mm-hmm.
and they're being persecuted wrongly, and that people don't have a right to hold them accountable for their actions. They're pretty arrogant. In the case of the Manly murders committed by Michael Silka, he wanted to go and live off the land. And in 1972, when Michael Silka was about 13 years old, the movie Jeremiah Johnson came out. And it had a profound effect on many boys who watched that, and they had this lifelong dream to be like Jeremiah Johnson. And I think that that movie definitely played a factor in his desire to come up here and
live off the land.
Live off the land.
Fairbanks, yes. We're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. Got Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here. We're at 907-458-TALK. 907-458. Joni?
8225.
Very good, yes. Oh. We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, are you driving high right now? You might be, because a whole lot of people do. They say marijuana makes them a better driver, more careful, more focused. That's probably what the guy who killed a 4-year-old thought. And now, he's in prison. You see, no matter what you tell yourself, if you feel different, you drive different. So if you're high, just don't drive. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
This is Lori Prox of KVAK Radio in Valdez with some information about the derby leader here in Valdez. Shane Miller used a jigging rod with a green squid and herring to catch the 184.6-pound halibut that won him $1,000 in the Valdez Halibut Hullabaloo Tournament last week. His fish remains in the lead to win the top prize in the Valdez Halibut Derby, $10,000. Miller said he enjoys the hands-on experience of jigging.
I'm not a fan of just the bait and wait for the circle hook to do all the work. It just has never really been my thing. I like the activity of setting the hook.
The size of the winning halibut in the Valdez Halibut Derby has ranged from a 170-pounder caught in 2022 to the record-breaking 374-pound halibut caught by Frieda Wiley in 2017. When asked whether he thought his fish would hang on to win the big money, Miller responded,
I tried to not get too excited about it because it is still a long ways away and I don't want to upset myself if I don't make it. I was just pretty excited about winning the Hallabalooza, so that was...
Yeah.
That was pretty good for me.
So Miller's not spending that $10,000 prize, but he does have plans for the $1,000 he won in the Halibut Hullabaloo. What's he doing? Heading back to Valdez for more fishing. And the rumors about a mammoth fish being brought to Port Valdez without a derby ticket? True. Saw the pictures.
Sure, the fishing is great in Valdez, but we also have opportunities to get outside and explore. Enjoy unbelievable views on one of our many hiking trails. Kayak the Sound, book a glacier tour, or learn about Valdez's rich history at one of our many museums. Stop by our visitor center on Fairbanks Drive for advice on everything Valdez. Discover more at valdezalaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Partly cloudy skies today with daytime highs approaching 69. Northerly winds around 5 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight, lows around 49. A blend of clouds and sun tomorrow, slight chance for isolated rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 71. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back at the end of the first segment there. I made Joni Skillbred give the phone number unexpectedly. She passed.
Do I get lunch next time?
No. But more importantly, I made her smile and laugh. This is a sort of a somber thing that we're talking about.
You totally caught me by surprise.
I know. You know, you're always the smartest person in the room. So I'm glad after 10 years it came to you. Anyway, so Jeremiah Johnson probably had an influence on a few things up here.
I think he had an influence on a lot of mostly men,
the movie,
who
yeah, the
come
movie.
Up here, you know, and they have this dream. They want to be the mountain man. The last place you can do something like that is either here or in northern Canada or whatever. But anyway, so probably before we go any further into this, we should probably talk about what it was that Michael Silka did and why what he did had such an impact.
Yeah.
On
Manly and
the whole
interior. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were living in Livengood at the time.
Yes, I was.
How far is that from Manly?
It's about halfway to Manly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Michael Silka came up here. He was, you know, everything referred to him as a drifter. That's how they would talk about him in the newspaper articles. Manly residents called him an end of the roader. When I lived in Livengood, when you live in these small communities, you're in a very closed
environment.
You know everybody. Everybody knows everybody really well. Anybody who's a stranger who comes into town, you're friendly to, but you're also a little bit cautious because you don't know them.
Ready for a phone call real quick?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
This is Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, I just wanted to mention there was also another movie that came out about the same time called My Side of the Mountain.
Yeah.
It was a book that was written in 1959. I can't remember the author's name, but that came out in the movie came out in 1969. And I remember reading that when I was in, elementary school and thinking, wow, that'd be such a cool thing to do, go live on your own. And then, of course, Jeremiah Johnson came out, and it's probably one of the better movies that's ever been made.
I enjoyed that movie. I really did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to go become a mountain man. I just enjoyed, being able to see that.
Well, it gave many young men the false idea that they could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a kid, though, you're sitting there going, man, I just want to get away and do something different,
True. Thank you for the phone call. Greatly appreciate it.
Yep. You're welcome.
Yep.
So the people of Manly at the time of these murders had a population of about 50. When Michael Silka got done there, 14% of their population was missing. They were gone. Poof. Disappeared off the face of the earth. He came into town, and he was there 4 days. And his plan was to go somewhere further along the river system, and he was going to go and live off the land. Just like Jeremiah Johnson, he had a canoe with a motor. He had this crappy old sedan, and it was full of guns and survival equipment and everything else. So he showed up there, and the ice hadn't gone out enough yet to really go anywhere. So he was waiting for the ice to finish going out. And like I say, he was there for 4 days. So the people of Manly had 4 days to kind of get to know this guy, and they all said that he was a weirdo. They said that he was quiet, that everybody knew that something was wrong with him, So when you see people like that, I don't care if you're in town or if you're not, you kind of go, okay,
But in a town like this, it's hard to avoid him.
Yes. So he camped out at the boat landing that's along the Tanana River, and that's a few miles outside of Manly. You drive through Manly, and then you have to go over to where the boat landing is. So he was out in a little bit of an isolated area. He was camping. I don't think anybody had a problem with that. But he was strange, and they all knew it. And so there's a term that they use in outlying communities, and they're called end of the roaders. And they're people who aren't successful in life. They're usually a loner. They got some mental problems. They run out of options, and they end up at the end of the road, and there's nowhere else to go. And so he fell into that category. Usually people that are end of the roaders or drifters, they're harmless. They're a little different, but they're harmless.
More danger to themselves.
Yeah, they more sabotage themselves in life. Correct. Yeah. They don't victimize other people. Unbeknownst to the residents of Manly, on the day that he arrived at Manly, the Alaska State Troopers had secured a search warrant to go into his place. He had been living over at Hopkinsville. That's about 4.5 mile Chena Pump Road, in a shack there. And they were looking at him. There was a disappearance of a man by the name of Roger Culp. And they had questioned Silka about this, and Silka, there was blood there in his, you know, in front of his cabin. And he said, "Oh no, no, I was skinning out a moose hide," and you know, that's what that was. Well, it turned out that probably that was Roger Culp. Roger Culp has never been seen or heard from again. They never did find him. But troopers were sure that Silka had something to do with that. Gunshots were heard coming from his cabin, all of that. So Silka, you know, he loads everything up he has to Manly. He's in Manly for 4 days, and he wants to get out of Manly because he's gonna escape the consequences of all of this. Nobody knows for sure what happened exactly with the murders of the people in Manly. They just know that people disappeared and that there was blood at the riverbank and drag marks into the river. So obviously he killed residents and disposed of the bodies in the river. One theory was that before he could get rid of all the evidence, somebody else would show up, because at breakup, everybody's going to check the progress of the breakup.
Yeah.
And before he could get rid of the evidence of his crime, somebody else would show up and he would have to do them in too. Those who were killed, and this is just the saddest thing, were Albert Hagen Jr., age 27, Fred Burke, age 30, Lyman Klein, 36, Joyce Klein, his pregnant wife, Marshall Klein, 2 years old. That's a whole family.
Yeah.
Joe McVeigh, 38 years old. Joe McVeigh was a Vietnam vet. Dale Majeski, 24 years old. So those are the people from the Manly area who disappeared. And it's also noteworthy that Fred Burke he lived down by the Kantishna River, and he had come upriver in his boat to get supplies at Manly. And his wife came looking for him. So these people all disappeared in a day. But it took a day for the residents of Manly to realize that all these people were missing. So, you know.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes, and they made a call to the troopers. We have people missing. There's blood at the boat landing. Something bad has happened. And so AST came out and sent a bunch of people out.
We take a phone call real quick. Good morning. You're on KFR Radio, and your name is?
Oh, I'm David. You know, earlier in the show, your guest was talking about the definitions of you know, these mass murderers. And I'm no psychiatrist, but my dad studied for.
Well, you better hurry up, because I have to take a break here in about 30 seconds.
The word psychotic came in back then, and I'm wondering if what she's describing is a psychotic, that they don't believe laws apply to them.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll come back after a long break, okay?
All right.
Yeah. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. Got some Sting, the Cowboy song, as bumper music. I can't wait to hear the 20 seconds of that I'm going to give it. Then we got some Fox News, some state news, some commercials and weather, and we will be back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM. 68.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. U.S. negotiators are in Qatar for talks with mediators as the United States and Iran work towards a peace deal before the current 60-day ceasefire expires. Vice President J.D. Vance says, in the meantime, technical talks are going well.
It's already started in an amazing direction. We've got now oil at $68. We've got gas prices starting to come down. But really just ensuring that we continue to make the progress on that. And that's what they're focused on.
The Justice Department going after the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua. And Acting Attorney General Todd Blanche announcing the filing of charges against a series of alleged members of this group.
This morning in Chicago, federal and local law enforcement charged three alleged TDA members on a criminal complaint charging the brutal murder of another victim in the Chicago area.
The Trump administration designating this gang as a foreign terrorist organization on the first day of the president's second term. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Anchorage Daily News reports the Anchorage Assembly unanimously approved a pair of new contracts covering operations at its main ice arenas despite lingering worries about the longevity and economic viability of the George M. Sullivan Arena. Assembly members discussed the new operator agreement for the Sullivan Arena, as well as a separate one covering the Ben Boeke and Dempsey Anderson ice arenas at a special meeting Friday. In both instances, the contracts moved quickly through the public process, introduced by Mayor Suzanne LaFrance's administration earlier last month before going to the Assembly at its June 23rd meeting. Given past issues associated with management of the facilities, several Assembly members were wary of approving the contracts without more time to scrutinize them and bump the final vote to Friday. The contract for the Sullivan Arena amounts to a municipal subsidy paid to the new operator, All In 49, a recently established firm made up of the owners of the Anchorage Wolverines ice hockey franchise.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is proposing a change to winter air quality rules in Fairbanks and North Pole. Right now, both communities are grouped together. Even though air pollution is more concentrated in parts of North Pole, DEC is proposing to separate the two areas. This means assistance can be focused on North Pole, and Fairbanks can avoid unnecessary burn requirements. This is a public process, and residents are invited to comment. Learn more at interiorairfacts.org.
Looking to grow your reach? Graphic North Printing is your expert in bulk mail services, delivering your message straight into the hands of your future customers. With nearly 50 years of serving Alaska's interior, they get it done right, on time, and on budget. From bold postcards and flyers to brochures, business cards, and self-inking stamps, Graphic North prints it all, and prints it all perfectly. Stop by off Old Steeves across from Taco King or visit graphicnorth.com. Graphic North Printing, where your image matters.
From the FIFA World Cup to competitive business environments, grand ambitions lead to game-changing achievements. At Bank of America, we're there to support businesses at every step, providing insights and expertise to help you gain an edge.
He shoots! He scores!
What would you like the power to do? Explore winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. With small ships that bring travelers closer to the destination, there's more time to explore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Joni Skillbred in the studio here talking about the Michael Silka.
The Manly murders.
Manly murders, devastation of Manly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Years later,
in
still
1984.
Felt. Still felt.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a caller that was going to hold.
He didn't hold.
Oh, he didn't. Okay. Well, he used the word psychotic and in his definition of psychotic. And I would say that, yeah, that probably fit, definitely. We're going to go into the background of Michael Silka here in just a minute. And I think that, you know, you'll see that was.
I think he's calling in now.
Oh.
We'll take the phone call.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Hey, it's Craig, David Craig Campo. I'm not the guy that was trying to call back, though.
But you're psychotic, and you're calling in.
Yes, I'm just saying. Yeah. Hey, I don't know if Tony mentioned it, but one of the, you know, I knew some of the people that lived there, David Lee, Robert mm-hmm. ran the lodge and so forth. And I don't, did you talk about or did you hear about the story where the plumbing part, right when this was going on, this murders, an individual drove by David's house, David Lee, and was looking, and just kind of waved at him and stopped. And he said, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Oh, I'm going down to by the slough where the barrel, I guess they had like a community barrel of plumbing parts, you know, everybody threw in there, just like a, you'd always go look around for a fitting or something." And mm-hmm. "What are you looking for?" And he goes, he holds it up. This guy was on the way to the murder scene. And David goes, "Oh, I got one of those. Hang on." So he ran to the house and got it. The guy turned around and went home with it, which may have saved his life, you know, because
everyone that went there died.
I think everyone in Manly had a story like that.
Yeah.
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 Sadly.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy the way that whole thing happened. But yeah, that's, and then there's another side. Yeah, the fellow that was flying the chopper who just recently passed away, Tom Davis. He was a, somebody that bought a big bunch of property for my folks years ago. We knew him and his family. They lived out on Kaufman Lane where my folks had some property. So, yeah, it all wraps around. There's a lot of interesting side notes to that story. But I'll just hang up and keep listening. I appreciate your...
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Oh, well, I'm the guy that called a little earlier before the break, and David. And, that word psychotic... And I guess your guest did affirm that that was an accurate term. But I was actually going to ask if, you know, as a mass murderer, there are things that are going on right now in government.
Now, hold it. I'm going to laugh here for a second because you said, as a mass murderer.
Yes.
Well, your semantics were quite... funny.
No, I'm not the mass murderer.
I know.
I just say, for example, when Doge ripped apart the safety systems of America, cutting the Food and Drug Administration, cutting the...
We're not going to go there. We're not going to go there.
That's not the topic.
Yeah, sorry. We're not going there.
So, back to the topic. So, the troopers were called, and they send out two helicopters out to Manly, and they sent out cars and everything else. I mean, they threw a lot at this. You're going to a remote location. You're going into a lot of unknowns. But when you got seven people missing, and this is probably the same guy who you just got a search warrant a couple days before, is suspected in another murder. You know, you're going into something that is, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, so they were armed to the teeth, you know, and Alaska is a very big place. This guy could be anywhere. So they realized that he had gone up the, the Zitzania River, I think is how that's said. Mm-hmm. Pardon me if I mispronounced it. And they found him up there, and he had a stolen boat, and he was towing his canoe behind the boat. And they had tried to get him to surrender. He would not. He stepped out from the tree. He fired, and he shot Trooper Duncan, Troy Duncan, age 34. And he shot him in the neck and jaw and killed him. The bullet also injured another trooper in the trooper helicopter. They had two helicopters. It almost caused the helicopter to crash. Well, as you can imagine, if you kill an Alaska State Trooper, you know, they are going to unload on you. And he was killed. Silka was killed. He had five bullet holes in him. And then the troopers had to load his body in a body bag and bring him back to Manly. which they did. And the people of Manly, I mean, their souls have been ripped out because of this guy and what happened. So the people of Manly, they found his car. He had pushed his car down away from the boat landing and had abandoned it. And the people of Manly went and they shot the car. They beat the car up. They wrecked that car, and then they threw it into the river.
They took out some emotion on the car. That needed to happen.
It did need to happen.
Yeah.
Yes, it did need to happen. I mean, it was just so devastating for them. There was a big search for the bodies, and with no results. And the families kept searching all summer long, and it was quite a while longer. They found, they found four of them, four of the seven victims. They found Fred Burke, Lyman Klein, Joe McVeigh, and Dale Majeski. The rest of them, they didn't find their bodies. And one of them was found 50 miles downriver. So the ones that weren't found were Joyce Klein, who was pregnant, and her two-year-old son, Marshall, and Albert Hagen Jr., wasn't found. A memorial was made, and it sits in the Manly Cemetery up on the hill in Manly to commemorate the victims who were lost. And it's real nice. It was made by a guy in Chattanooga and placed there. And the community, you know, like I say, was devastated. I mean, it put a scar in their community. You know, really, really terrible. So we can talk about who this guy was, his background. He grew up in Hoffman Estates, about 45 miles northwest of Chicago. It was a suburb of Chicago. And it had a lot of open area. And he was, as a teenager, He liked guns. He liked to go hunting. He liked to go fishing. He liked the outdoors.
Expert shooter.
Yeah, and he got in trouble as a teenager. He got in trouble for robbery. He got in trouble for illegal liquor sales. He, they said that he was a normal teenager. I don't consider that to be a normal teenager. Normal teenagers don't get in trouble with the law multiple times.
No.
But he did. So in 1977, he enlisted in the Army, and he became, while in the Army, an expert in M16 guns and grenades. And while he was in the Army, he was stationed here at Fort Wainwright, which he had a weapons misconduct charge here because he discharged a weapon inside the barracks. He got in trouble for that. And this is a pattern. And in 1981, he got an honorable discharge from the Army, and we're going to come back to that in a minute, returned to Alaska, and he got into trouble for giving false information when trying to obtain a hunting and trapping license.
Oh, boy. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 907-458.
8225.
We'll be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com. Findoutfree.com.
If I die young, bury me in satin, send me away with the words of a love song.
It's the 14th annual Backyard Country Barbecue featuring the Band Perry, Thursday, July 16th at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds with special guests Trey Pendley, Kendall Marvel, and Ken Peltier. The Band Perry is bringing their Psycho Rodeo Tour to Fairbanks.
And let the stone sound.
This is an all-ages show. The Band Perry. Doors open at 4. Music starts at 5. Tickets are on sale now at ericksonevents.com. The Band Perry at the Tanana Valley State Fairgrounds. Presented by Tanana Herb Company, The Spur, the official after-party location, and Coors. All I wanna be
is done. This is an Ericsson Unlimited event.
If you want to show off that summer smile, it all starts with a visit to Affordable Dental Care. And like the name says, yep, it's affordable. And nowadays, few things are more important than saving money. Affordable Dental Care does both. In a warm, friendly atmosphere, it's the perfect dental clinic for the entire family. From cleanings to crowns, they got you covered. That's Affordable Dental Care. See all of their services online at adcak.com. Affordable Dental Care, just off 14th Avenue right downtown.
KFAR weather.
A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 69. Northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Lows level off around 49. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for isolated rain showers. Tomorrow, highs level off around 71. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. Joni Skillbred in the studio with me here, talking about the personality traits and background of Michael Silka.
Yes, the Manly Hot Springs mass murderer. So he was stationed here at Wainwright. He had a weapons misconduct here, and then he came back up here. He left again. He went back down to Hoffman Estates, got into trouble again down there, and started heading north. He got in a car, and he spent part of the winter in Canada. And he got back up here in early April of 1984, and he rents a shack at Hopkinsville out at Chena Pump Road. On April 27th, he got his Alaska driver's license, and by April 28th, Roger Culp is reported as missing. Yes. May 13th, he arrived at Manly Hot Springs. And then, you know, this murder happens, which ends up in him being killed. So I went back and I researched him in the Hoffman Estates newspapers. You know, his family was pretty devastated. But I have to question, you know, as a teenager getting weapons misconduct charges as a teenager, I don't think he probably had that much parenting.
True.
Yeah.
Ready for a phone call?
Sure.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio and your name is?
This is Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Yeah, I was just wondering, maybe I missed the very first part of the show. Maybe you already talked about it, but this whole thing reminds me of something that happened also. As I recall, it was Manly with, who was the guy with the whole face tattoos, the pirate. And I think I hadn't heard that he was actually apprehended ever.
Another end of the roader.
Huh?
He was another end of the roader.
Pirate was?
Is also in Manly, but does anybody, maybe another person can call, but I never heard if that was ever resolved. You know, he didn't murder people, or maybe he did, I don't know, but he was wanted for, you know, kidnapping and rape of more than one woman, and it was, you know, there was a search out for him, and there's a guy that lives in Esther, even now, that also has a face tattoo, and is often, I feel sorry for him, because he's often, you know, he was often mistaken for this guy. And, you know, his life was upset by that. But anyway, I don't heard that they ever, you know, does anybody know? I'll hang up.
I don't know. I do not know either.
So I do know that in the aftermath of Michael Silka, you know, it's like no surprise that he did what he did when you look at his past. And he was always...
it was available for him to do it.
Yes.
Personality, yeah.
The rules were for other people. They weren't for him.
Yeah.
You know? So in the aftermath of all of this, a few good things happened. Maybe not so much if you're a criminal, but there were some good things that did come out of this. One of the troopers who was involved in this, Trooper Hall, he came out of this and he said, I'm going to make it my life mission to have better prepared law enforcement for situations like this. He went on to become the head trooper at the Sitka Academy. And then he went nationwide and was training people. And he improved response and strategy in cases like this, you know, so that you're not putting people at risk unnecessarily. He never got over losing his
sidekick.
His sidekick, Troy Duncan. Yeah. I mean, nobody that was in the troopers at that time ever got over that. It was just terrible. The shooting range, the new shooting range that they built at the Trooper Academy in Sitka was named after Troy Duncan, the trooper that was killed by Michael Silka. Communities up and down the river were impacted. I mean, nobody ever forgot that. I know living in Livengood, boy, we looked at people that we didn't know in a different way after that. And it was, you know, you got to really be careful because the cops are not right there to protect you. You have to be smart. tourism in Manly declined and the residents tried to move on. And eventually, you know, people started coming back to Manly. The real salt in the wound. Michael Silka's father succeeded in getting his son a military burial in the Sitka Veterans Cemetery.
The honorable discharge.
Honorable discharge. They said, we don't care if he was a mass murderer. He had an honorable discharge. He is entitled to that.
Yeah.
So he was cremated and his remains are in Sitka, at the same place where the shooting range is named after Trooper Duncan, which is a little ironic. So Manly had two more end of the rotor incidents after the murders. Jesse Weaver and son in the mid-1980s, not long after this incident happened, and Mark Espy and son 10 years later. Weaver and his son beat a man to death, and Mark Espy was killed by his son after years of child abuse and neglect. A very sad legacy.
There was a person who was killed by black bear hunters on the Zatanna also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then other end of the rotor.
Yeah, yeah.
Sent to me by Al. The information was sent to me by Al, my buddy.
Yes.
He was on the radio with me yesterday, but Al, I'm out of the food.
When you go to these outlying communities, especially on the road system, you know, people from town think that people that live in those communities are sometimes rude. Well, it's not that. You have to be really careful.
Yeah.
You have to be really careful. This teaches you that. Law enforcement in the state of Alaska used the lessons learned in the Silka case to improve manhunt practices. And, you know, the search team, I'm trying to remember what CERT stood for.
CERT?
Yeah.
Z-E-R-T?
S-E-R-T.
S-E-R-T.
But it had to do with manhunts.
Strategic emergency response time.
Team,
yeah.
Yes, you got it. Oh, yeah. I remembered the number. You remembered that.
Yeah.
Oh, we're rolling today.
That's why we're Wednesdays.
We're rolling today. Yes. So a sad piece of history, but an important piece of history to remember that, you know, when you encounter somebody who's not quite right and you're in an isolated area.
Stay away. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that was good. What are you thinking about in July, since this is July, but you're the last Wednesday in July?
I don't know. Do you have a request?
Let me think about that.
You know what would be a neat one?
You know, street names in Fairbanks.
Oh.
The downtown street names.
Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, Fairbanks, am I good or am I good? And when I see Joni light up, that means it's going to be real good.
Yes, and that would be more lighthearted.
Yeah. I think anything would be more lighthearted.
Well, real life is not full of, you know, all the good stuff. It's also the bad stuff.
That is true.
And so is history.
So you're going to stay in the area for?
The 4th.
The 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Any celebrations?
Well, my father is going to turn 90 later this month, and the whole family, we got family coming up from the lower 48, and I'm super, super excited about it. There's going to be about 20 of us, and he's going to have all his great-grandchildren there at his birthday party. And yeah, 90, you know, that's a big birthday.
Boy, so, I hope I see my 90th birthday.
Yeah, yeah, we're all very excited about it.
Oh, what the heck? There's a fireworks denial. It's, you know, forest fire warnings are out, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not fun. Fireworks aren't fun until winter anyway.
You can't see them.
You can't see them.
I know.
You can't see them.
I know.
But you can buy them right after the 4th for really cheap.
Really
and
cheap.
And then hoard them until you know, it gets dark again.
You know, I feel sorry for the fireworks people because when they really are going to sell them, it's like 30 blowout. They're sitting in their wooden, you know, trauma center is what I call it.
So this year for Alaska Day in October, the Pioneers of Alaska, we're going to be up at the Pedro Monument Wayside, and we're going to have fireworks this year.
When is the Golden Days time frame?
Golden Days?
Yeah, what week is that?
7 days after the parade will be 7 days after the 18th. So 8 and 7/25 is the day of the parade. It's like the third week of July.
Sort of getting late.
Yeah.
Let's see here. So that the 4th week, that's the 4th week of July, the 4th Saturday is Saturday the 25th. Is that when it's at? Yes.
I think so. Yeah. That's the day of the parade, but there's events that come before the parade.
Well, it's either Wednesday or Thursday and Friday. The Kiwanis have their sourdough pancakes in the Saddler's parking lot.
Oh, yes.
And that's what's so important to me.
On the 24th, which is Friday, mark your calendar. And if you
it'll be my dad's birthday.
If you like Golden Days and you like Golden Days costumes and all of that stuff, you go to the Regent's Tea, and it's going to be at Pike's Lodge in the Binkley Room at 1 p.m. on Friday the 24th. It's open to the public, and there's lots of finger foods and lots of Golden Days costumes, and it's a real, real good time. And it's one of our oldest Golden Days events.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Go be a part of it. It's free.
Are you going to be speaking at the Pedro Monument?
No, Jerry Cleworth is.
I know.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
That should be good. That should be good. Well, we got about a half minute left. How do you want to end it?
Well, thank you for listening, and you know, beware of strangers.
Joni, thank you for being here and giving us information on this. Most people never heard of that or didn't know about that.
Yeah.
And boy, and Fairbanks, you have a great week. I will see you on Monday. I'm not going to be in town here this Friday. So if the Purple Padded Room and upper management doesn't get the programming straight, you're going to have dead air. So anyway, I'll see you on Monday.